Handler is the administrator there.
I forgot the sefer that I was preparing for the Nitzei Gavriel. I think I left it in shul by mistake this morning, Shacharis. I was looking over some things and I forgot to bring it, so I'm gonna have to do the best from memory. I don't have it in front of me. I can't find it here. I must have left it on the table in shul. So let me try to reconstruct the best that I can from memory what I wanted to talk about today, and then we'll do a little bit of drush as well. First thing, something I found very interesting is about who is chayiv to light Chanukah candles. Are women chayiv to light Chanukah candles? Noshim and Kitanim. Let's talk about these two members of society. Are women and children, do they have an obligation to light Chanukah candles? So now, of course, any mitzvah that you're not obligated to do, generally you can do. Okay, Noshim are exempt from every mitzvah seh she'azman grama. Every mitzvah seh, which is the time dependent, they have no obligation to perform. But if they want, they can do the mitzvah and they can make a bracha. A woman can eat in the sukkah. She can make a bracha, according to Ashkenazim. A woman can make the bracha of leishay basukkah. When it comes to lulav and eshrik, there's no obligation for a woman to take lulav and eshrik. But if she wants kol hakavod, she can take the lulav and eshrik and make a bracha. V'chohena v'chohena. Now there are certain mitzvahs that a woman should not do. Okay, it's not just that they are exempt, but they're not supposed to do. Tefillin, tzitzis. Okay, these are mitzvahs which they are advised not to do. If a woman puts on tefillin and makes a bracha, you cannot say that it's a bracha levatola. You cannot say that. But they're not obligated. It's zman grama. Tefillin is only by day. It's not at night, so it's zman grama. And the minig is that women do not wear tefillin. Okay, the Ramah says women do not wear tefillin. Tzitzis, women do not wear. But to say that a woman, tzitzis is also a mitzvah seh she'azman grama. But to say that if a woman were to go ahead and put on tzitzis and tefillin and make a bracha, to say that they made it's a bracha levatola, I don't believe you can go so far to say such a thing. We have traditional legend that the daughters of Rashi wore tefillin. We have a legend that Michal Bashohol wore tefillin. Okay, so this is not our topic. This is not our topic. This is a very complicated sugya. Exactly which mitzvahs are women obligated to perform, and which mitzvahs are they exempt? But although they're exempt, they are advised they should still do it. For example, shofar. Women are very, very makbid to hear tekiyah shofar. They're not obligated. So why are they makbid? What's the difference between tefillin and shofar? Shofar, they're exempt, but every woman will go out of her way to make sure she hears shofar. Tefillin, they're advised not to wear tefillin. And then there are many mitzvahs that are somewhere in the middle. Going into the sukkah, they go, they don't go. They don't have to go into the sukkah. So some of them do go, some do not go. It's a very complicated topic as to define the rules of mitzvahs lenoshim, what mitzvah they must observe, what mitzvah they're exempt, but they are advised to observe, which mitzvahs they're exempt, and do what you want. If you want to, it's good. If you don't want to, don't do it. And then there are mitzvahs which they're basically told you're exempt and don't do it. And then there are certain mitzvahs which they're not even obligated to begin with. If they do it, they don't even get credit. It's because, you know, if you're not a Kohen, you can't do the Avodah. You can't do those mitzvahs. They're not your mitzvahs. Now, if that is complicated regarding mitzvahs d'oraisa, it gets even more complicated when it comes to a mitzvah d'rabbanan, and specifically what we're discussing, Ner Chanukah. What exactly is the role of a woman? What exactly is her obligation when it comes to lighting the candles of Chanukah? So we have a principle called Af Hein Hoyu Be'oisai Hanes. Women were also participants in the miracle. The mitzvah of Chanukah is a mitzvah primarily Lefarsume Nisa, to publicize the miracle. The miracle of the Chanukah menorah. The Chanukah menorah does not just represent the miracle of the lighting of the candles for 8 days. It also represents the entire era, the entire generation. For 52, we have on record that it was a Gezeres HaShmat for 52 years. For 52 years, Jews were not allowed to observe pretty much all of the mitzvahs. Specifically, there was an emphasis on Shabbos, not to observe Shabbos. There was an emphasis not to observe Bris Milah, and an emphasis not to observe Kiddush HaChodesh, Rosh Chodesh, which basically means the Jewish calendar. To abolish the Jewish calendar, everything should be dated, the secular calendar, the entire concept of counting, of the way we calculate time should be abolished. That was the primary emphasis. But really, obviously, if you're not going to observe Shabbos, it basically means that trying to cut out religion entirely from the Jewish people. So that Gezerah, thank you very much for the coffee, Mordechai, thank you very much. That Gezerah included women. When the miracle of Chanukah culminated with the menorah, it wasn't just the menorah. It represented the freedom. It represented that we're no longer under their clutches, and Klal Yisrael can proceed to observe Kol Torah Kula. Af hein hayu ba'osei hanes. When you apply that principle, that a principle applies to women equally to men, and that would automatically obligate women in the mitzvah, all of the mitzvahs of Chanukah. Now there's another approach to Af hein hayu ba'osei hanes, and that means they were the protagonist. They were the cause of the miracle. What is the story of Chanukah? Not everyone knows the whole story of Chanukah, but part of the story is the Jews, pretty much for 52 years, they got used to it. All right, so we won't observe Shabbos, so we won't observe Chodesh, so there won't be a Bris Milah. Little by little, they began to get used to it, and they didn't put up much of a fight. Part of the Gezeros, which was not emphasized in Chazal as much, was that a woman who gets married, a psula, a woman who's getting married for the very first time, before she can live with her husband for the first time, she has to live with the governor, the whatever title you want to call him, the leader of the secular leader of the community. We'll call him the governor. He seemed to have a similar role as what we would call today a governor.
The hegemon.
That was the rule. And if you didn't do this, if there was a wedding which took place in secret, and a woman got married secretly without first submitting herself to the hegemon, it meant there were serious repercussions. And it seems, from our understanding, that they got used to this, the same way they got used to all the other gezeros. The persecution was so intense. They accepted this, and women would submit to the hegemon before they would marry. And obviously, you could imagine, this defilement of a Jewish woman had a major effect in marriage. And obviously, it definitely desanctified the entire marriage.
Until, the Gemara discusses this and said they used to put a candle on the door to signify when they did it in secret that there was a wedding going on in that house. You saw a candle on the door. I wanted to suggest that's one of the reasons maybe you marched down with a candle of the zeicher.
Interesting.
I mean, it's not the way we do it, but right. Nevertheless,
it's a zeicher l'davar. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech olam shehakol nehiyeh bedvarayo. That's very interesting what you're saying.
You mean like something like today when they hold the weddings in secret? When they walk down with a candle, it's lezeicha, the people who
want to. No, I know what you're saying, but I'm saying something different.
My brother told me that in Eretz Yisrael, my brother told me in Eretz Yisrael, he went to a wedding, one of his wife's cousins, where under Corona, they were not allowed to have, I don't know what the numbers were, very few people, but they were in violation. But so they had someone watching outside when the police were coming, and the police came. They came. He said they came to check four times during the wedding, and every time they were about to come, the shomer he signaled to everyone they're coming, and about half the crowd went out the back door. They just milled around outside. So when the police came in to inspect, there were only the 25 or whatever number of people they were allowed to be. And then after the police, the coast is clear, they came back. And this happened four times during the wedding. Okay, maybe they listen. I'm just telling you what happened. I'm not telling you who's right and who's wrong. But you mentioned, okay, now let's go further. So the question was that the rule was that you have to submit to the Hegmon. This was the rule, and people seemed to get used to it until one day, Yehudis. There are different versions of the story, but the basic story appears to be part of the record. Yehudis said, "I'm not doing this," and she the different versions of exactly what she did. One version, the most extreme version, was is that she took off all of her clothing in front of her brothers, in front of her family, and she said, and they said, "What are you doing? You're crazy." And they said, "And it's not crazy for me to go to the Hegmon?" There are different versions of this, a little bit extreme version of the story, but and she did something extreme, which provoked her brothers, the Chashmonaim, her brothers, to fight, to say enough is enough. And what they did was, okay, we're gonna take care of you. They escorted her to the Hegmon, and the Hegmon was so, wow, look at this whole family is coming to greet me, such a chashma family coming to greet me. And they come into the house, and they say, let's talk to the Hegmon, and they basically, they kill him, they murder him. They murder him, they tricked him, and they murdered him. They cut off his head, and that started a war. That was one of the beginning of one of the wars, which led to the ultimate victory of the Chashmonaim prevailing upon the Misyavnim and the Yavanim, and they won the war. So this whole story, the whole war battle, was sparked by a woman, Yehudis. She is the one that put her foot down and said, enough is enough. And by her putting her foot down and doing something desperate, which inspired her brothers to fight for her and for Klal Yisrael, is why we have a Chanukah, story. So Av Hein Hoyu Ba'Ois HaNes means a woman is the one who is instrumental in bringing about the miracle. On Purim, why are women chayiv to read the Megillah? Same thing. Af hein hayu ba'oseh hanes. The gezera was lahashmid lahargul labedes kol hayud minar v'yad zokin taf v'noshim. Women were slated for execution, for murder. And on the other hand, there's another reason why. Because who is the one that brought about the miracle? Esther Hamalka. Esther went, she went before Achashverosh to beg for the Jewish people. She was the tool of Hashem to save Klal Yisrael. Let's go to Pesach. Pesach. Noshim are chayiv in matzah. It's the exception. It's Gzeres HaKosav. Even though Matz Mitzvah Shazman Groma, they're Chayiv also in Dalit Koisais, and there the same principle is applied. Af Hein Hoyu Ba'Ois HaNes. They were part of the miracle. How are they part of the miracle? So it's a little more complicated. If Klal Yisrael would have been destroyed, the goal was to, they were slaves. Avodim Hoyinu Lefaro. Who were Avodim? Women also were slaves. We were all slaves. Everyone was to different degrees. Some will say it's not the same because kol habein hayiloid hayoira tashlichu v'chol habas tichayun. Okay, so it wasn't to the same degree, but ultimately we all would have died. We all would have perished in Egypt. On the other, and then the other approach is bizuchos noshim tzidkonios yatsu b'nei Yisrael mimitzrayim. Beferish chazal, explicit chazal, in the merit of the righteous women did we leave Egypt. It was the Noshim Tzidkonios. The Noshim Tzidkonios that we went to their husbands in the field when they were working with slave labor, would bring them water, would bathe them, would bring them fish and food. The Chazal described what the Noshim Tzidkonios did to encourage their husbands. When it says, Shleshinu es malbusham l'shoinam, and they did not change their names, they did not change their clothing, they did not change their language. A lot of that is attributed to the Noshim. They're the ones who control many of these things, the bias, the way they speak in the home, and the chulu. A lot of these things are attributed to the women. Chazal said explicitly, "Bezuchos Noshim Tzidkonios Yatsu B'nei Yisrael Mi'eretz Mitzrayim." Thus, we find in Pesach Noshim have an obligation. First of all, it's a biblical obligation to gzeres hakatzah, so they have to eat matzah, even though it's mitzvah seishas man grama. And dalid koisos, they also have an obligation, even though it's mitzvah midrabanan. We find nashim playing a much, much greater obligation on Pesach than when it comes to other mitzvahs because of this principle. Now, going back to Chanukah, are women chayiv in the mitzvah adlakas neiros? Absolutely. L'may nafkamina, if a woman is living alone, she has her own apartment, she's either Rachman Litzlan, she's not married, a single girl living alone, or let's say Rachman Litzlan, she's a Grusha or an Almana, she has an obligation to light candles. There's nothing to discuss. She has to light candles. And let's say, period, that's it. Now, let's say she's married. Okay, she's married. Does she light candles? So it's not so simple if she should light her own candles. It's obvious that the minog Yisrael, not by everyone, but probably by, can't give you numbers, make believe it's 90% of married women don't light candles. Why? Ishtoi kigufoi. There's something to being married. No matter what society you come from. You're married. Okay? A person is married. Ishtoi. Everyone has to ascribe to the principle of Ishtoi kigufoi. When your husband lights the candles, those are your candles. He's moitze you. That's part of the bias. Ishtoi kigufoi. What about your daughters? Single girls? Are they out? Well, technically, even your sons are not obligated. It's only one ner ishu, basically one candle for the entire bayis is really sufficient. But boys, a light midin chinuch, we'll discuss that soon, they light midin chinuch, sons. So girls also. Right now, the girl is not married. She can light her own candles. And there are different minhagim. Okay, everyone has a different minhag of a person's daughters light candles. Most people I know, from the Haredi world, their daughters are very happy to light candles, and their parents are very happy to light candles. I do know that there are certain groups in Klal Yisrael where the girls are discouraged from lighting candles. Okay, there are definitely segments in Klal Yisrael where they discourage the girls from lighting candles, because my father used to joke with me. Noshim, I hope there are no women listening to this joke. If there are any women, I apologize to you. I don't mean this. This is just a joke. My father taught girls in Stern. He was a professor in Stern College, and he taught college girls, and the girls always had excuses that they can't do the work because they're dating. A college girl, there's a shuttle, YU, that takes the boys to the girls. There's a lot of activities going on. And the girls are in the process of getting married, dating. And that would always translate into an excuse why the work was not done, or why they're not ready for the test, or why they need another test, v'chulu v'chulu. So my father would joke, he would say this to me, Noshim daiton kalois. Al tikre kalois with a kuf, ella with a chaf. So when you say with a kuf, it's an insult. Noshim, it's an insult. Daiton kalois, they're lightheaded. That's not nice to say. What does it really mean? I don't know what that chazal really means. You can't say, whatever it means. My father, don't read it as if there's a kuf, kal, lightheaded. Read it with a chof, kala, a bride. An isha in this school, their primary das, their primary goal is to find the boy, to become a kala. To become a bride. Nation.
Boys didn't get that.
They were going for their MRS degree.
Yeah.
The MRS would not.
We didn't get that excuse in YU. We didn't.
Girls get a pass, okay?
No.
Girls get a pass.
No, I waited.
Okay, so therefore, that principle is applied in the Haredi world by some, not all, by some groups, that since the goal of this girl is to get married and she's knocking the light candles because ishtoi ki gufoi, she's one guf with her husband, and when her husband lights the candles, so therefore part of the chinuch is that she doesn't have to light candles either. There's no need for the little girls to light candles because ultimately they're not going to light candles, they're going to become one with their husband. I don't know, that's obviously not true in most of the Haredi community that I know of, because most of the Haredi community I know of, all the girls, they do light. Whatever it is, it is. But the point over here is, let's talk about obligation. Obligation The only time even a man has an obligation is if you're the Rosh HaBayis. You only have to light one candle. And everyone in the whole Bayis is part of that one candle. Everything else is Hidur Mitzvah. So if a woman is in that same position, if she is the Rosh HaBayis, then she has an obligation to light. Okay, she has an obligation to light Hanukkah candles. That is correct. That because why? Why don't we go say that it's a mitzvah? Say she has zman grama. It's zman grama. It should be no. The rule of the mitzvah derabanan should be no worse than a mitzvah deraisa. And when it comes to a mitzvah deraisa, if it's time dependent, then there is no obligation for a woman to do the mitzvah. So let's say the same principle when it comes to mitzvah derabanan. To that, the answer is af hein hoyu beoisoy hanes. They were part of the miracle. In two forms. Number one is the miracle. The gzer was basically to de-sanctify the Jewish people, to obliterate from the Jewish people religion, to take away Shabbos, Milah, and Chodesh. And also every woman was obligated to submit herself to the Hegemon. So they were part of the decree. And now they were spared. So af hein hayu ba'isa hanes, they have an obligation to reciprocate by doing the mitzvah. And the other answer, other approach is that it was a woman who was instrumental in bringing about the miracle in the first place. The one that brought about the miracle, the one that lit the match, that created the spark that brought about the miracle was Yehudis. So therefore, Noshim are Chayif, no different than men. If you're part of a household, you don't do it. But if you are the Rosh HaBayis, then you light candles. You do light candles. Okay, now here is the problem. Here is something very interesting, which I saw this year for the first time. I saw an argument made in Nitin Garvil in the footnotes. He has all this incredible stuff there. It's really awesome, awesome, the research that he has done to bring together all of these things. And a lot of things that there are not halacha l'maisa. And that's why I want to tell you, just to appreciate the different topics, not that they are accepted lahalacha, but it does bring out a point that we can appreciate, allows us to appreciate the Yom Tov more. Again, halacha lemaisa, noshim achayiv, period. Nothing to discuss. Every single one must make sure that she is accounted for. If she's part of a household, her father lights, she's good to go. She's married, her husband lights, she's good to go. If she's alone, she's by herself, then she must lahalacha light. However, here comes the question. This mitzvah, this argument that they are part of the miracle is very weak. It's the weakest of all of the category, in the entire category of af hein hoyu ba'isa hanes, it is the weakest. Why? To go say that they're part of the nation that was slated for desanctification is a weak argument. Because the gezeiras hashmad, the gezeira not to be shomer Shabbos, not to perform bris milah and chodesh, this is something that was slated against the nation. It wasn't specific to them. It's true. They're part of Klal Yisrael. But it's not specific. The Torah is given to the whole Klal Yisrael, but Noshim are exempt. Noshim are exempt. So, just because there was a Gezeres Hashmad for Klal Yisrael, and they're part of Klal Yisrael, so what? They're part of Kol HaTorah Kula. They're part of everything. And yet, Mitzvah Seh Shazman Grama, they're exempt. So don't go tell me they're part of Klal Yisrael and therefore that's why they have to participate. I hear the argument, but it's not a very strong argument. Even when it comes to Purim, Lahashmid Laharugu Labidis Kol Ayudim, Minarviyad Zokin Taf Vinoshim. Maybe there you'll say it's a little bit better because the Pasuk explicitly says the word Vinoshim. Oh, it says the word Vinoshim. It's in print. It's in a document. Maybe you can argue that it's one notch up. Purim, af hein hoyu ba'isa hanes, if you want to learn, take the approach that they were victims. They were the intended victims. So maybe Purim is a little bit better because they're specified. But Hanukkah, they're not specified anything special. So, who says? Okay, so what's the next argument? The next argument is she was the cause. Yehudis was the one who said to her brothers, Ad kan, I'm not going to humiliate myself before the Hegmoin. Ad kan. So she was instrumental, just like Esther was instrumental. Okay, there's something to be said about that, but it's not the same. Esther was the one that went lifnai v'lifnim. Kasher avaditi avoditi. She went to Achashverosh uninvited. She went in, she risked her life. She designed an elaborate plan to make two sudois, to tease Achashverosh. She was the brains. She was the architect of the whole miracle. She orchestrated the whole miracle. It's called Megillas Esther. It's not called Megillas Mordechai. She was the brains, but she was the think tank behind this entire process. Yehudis was a tzaddikus, but she's not the architect of the miracle. She said to her brothers, enough. And her brothers said, you're right, we will take over. You sit back, relax, we will take over. We will go to war. Yehudis did not lose her life in battle. All of her brothers died in battle, ultimately. She's not the one who fought the war. She brought about the war. So it's a little bit weak. It's not the same intensity as Esther Hamalka Af Hein Hoyu, that she brought about the miracle. So what are we left with? We're left with one very, very powerful argument. There was a Gezeres Hashmad, not just a Mila, and Shabbos and Chodesh. Every Besula, before she marries, must live with the Hegma. Bili Yoytze Min HaKlal. And they were part of the Gezerah. I mean, this is serious stuff. They were slated. This Gezerah was very specific to them. And now that Hanukkah miracle occurred, no more. So don't you think they have to participate? They have to go and give Shevach V'Adot to Hashem and express their appreciation by lighting Hanukkah candles? Because, I mean, what more do you want? It was directly against the Noshim. And Yehudis, that's how it all started. Because she said, Adka, I'm not going to do this. But the Gezerah affected the entire Klal Yisrael called Besula HaNises Tibor LeHegmoin. So here comes the incredible Chiddush. This is a very disturbing thing I'm going to tell you now, and you know this already, is who says they were obligated to be Moser Nefesh? There's a general rule. This is something which is discussed a lot in regard to Esther Hamalka. Esther Hamalka was married according to the simple understanding, without any midrashim, any. Esther Hamalka was married to Achashverosh. How was Esther Hamalka allowed to submit to Achashverosh? He's a goy. How was she allowed to do this? And the answer is Karka Oilam, a principle of the act. This marital act, a woman in halacha is considered passive. And thus, she has no obligation to give up her life, not to be taken to Achashverosh. She is exempt. It's being done to her against her will. She's been taken to Achashverosh against her will, and being that this action is something which she is not an active participant, the man is the active participant, the woman is passive. It's called karka olam. She's just a earth. Someone is stepping on you. I'm not doing anything. Someone is stepping on me. There is no halachic obligation to give up your life, in this situation. So therefore, when it comes to Yehudis, when it comes to the Noshim, the women that lived in this generation, they were subject to a horrible, horrible decree. Kol hanises, kol besul hanises, tibol lehegmai. They were subject to this decree. Now that the Chanukah miracle happened, they've been released from this humiliation, from this suffering. The problem is, it's definitely true, it's cause for celebration, but to create upon a woman an obligation based upon this is weak, because technically speaking, they were permitted to submit to the hegemon. Technically speaking, they were forced. They have no obligation to give up their lives. They were passive in the world of halacha. I know it's hard to understand this in a more practical sense, but from a halachic perspective, they were passive. And being that they were passive, they have no obligation to. They did not do, and they would not. They would not have done anything wrong or forbidden, technically, if the miracle of Chanukah did not occur. So now that the miracle of Chanukah occurred, it's true, it saved them from the sanctity of their marriage. It saved them from the humiliation. It saved them from this very disturbing, uncomfortable situation. But it did not save them from a halachic prohibition. And when Chazal are coming to create halachic obligations, you have to follow the rules. A halachic obligation for a woman is a very serious thing. It's a commitment. You are requiring women to be committed to do a mitzvah that involves an enormous effort and time for the whole Klal Yisrael, for all generations, based on what? On thin air? Because they got lucky? Because they won the lottery? Because they're happy people? They don't have to wash the dishes? They don't have to do the laundry? So now we're going to create a holiday and obligation to light every night Hanukkah candles for all generations? That's not the way it works. If a woman was in a situation where she was in violation of a halacha, a mitzvah, a din in the Torah, and a miracle happened, a salvation occurred to save them from this violation, yes, you are saved from a violation that automatically triggers our right to insist that you have a new obligation. You have an obligation to thank Hashem for being saved from the violation of an obligation. Tit for tat. You are saved from a violation. We're entitled to obligate you to do something to commemorate this. But if you were saved from agony, from humiliation, but technically you were not saved, you would not have been considered to be guilty of violating a halacha, that does not give the Chachamim the power to obligate a woman to do a mitzvah her entire life, 8 days a year, for her children, her grandchildren, atzev kol adoros. That's not the way it works. There are certain guidelines and rules. So it comes out now. Everything I'm telling you now is shleik halacha. I told you in the very beginning. I just wanted you to appreciate what halacha is. Halacha l'maisa, the bottom line is, women are chayiv. They do have to light Chanukah candles, whether they like it or not. It's not always practical that they have to actually light, because if they're married, the mitzvah is ner ish ubeisoi. Ish doik gufa, when the husband lights, it's automatically for them. If they're living in their father's home, if their father lights, they're done. There's nothing they need to do, because automatically they are taken care of from the bias, either the husband or their father. And let's say even if they have children, let's say Rachmana Litzlan, there is an alman, and she has sons. So if the sons light, so that's her also. I mean, you can do whatever you want. There's no real clear. Does an almana light Chanukah candles? An almana who let's say did not light Chanukah candles because of her husband, and now Rachmana Litzlan, she's an almana, but she has sons who are lighting Chanukah candles in the home. Does the mother light? I don't know the answer. I would imagine there are different opinions. Technically, there's no need for her to light because her son, when the son lights the Chanukah candles, he is lighting in the place of the father, the husband. He is the Malim Mekoymoy. He is now the Rosh HaBayis in this particular mitzvah. And he is lighting on behalf of the entire bias. That is sufficient.
She has to contribute a few cents to the
She has to contribute?
Oil.
She paid for the oil. She paid for all the oil.
My mother used to give me a dime. You know what I mean? That's the way we were knowing. That's the way we were told it has to be.
Okay, but let's say your mother paid for the whole thing. Then she paid.
Well, she did.
Okay.
Told us early on that. She,
okay.
Since it's all coming later, eventually she's not paying any bills now on her own. Because it was all our money, so we paid for everything.
Okay.
Pay for anything.
On the other hand, a woman can lie herself. She can now become the Rosh HaBayis. There's no reason why not.
She, you know, when she was alone, she lit. But
right.
When she came,
but even if she has children,
then she gave me a dime for the oil.
Okay, it would appear that it's totally up to her. Totally up to her. It's not etched in stone because the proof is because there are
But Shmuel, you said she came to your home. You were at her home, so that might.
That's a very big difference. That's a very big right.
If the son is still living in the parents' house.
No, I hear you. I wasn't thinking about that.
I think the variable.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, now you have to also understand is that even there are people I can't go point fingers, but there are even amongst Charedim, where even though we have a principle ishtoi ki gufoi, the wife also lights. There are many women who want to light on their own. They have a very good marriage, okay? Ishtoi ki gufoi, and the husband lights, and the wife lights. Okay, there are definitely couples in that category. So it doesn't really make a difference. And I'll give you another dilemma to prove this point. And there really is no answer to this question. We have a principle, mahadrin, right? Me'ikar hadin. According to the letter of the law, how many candles do you light? Let's make believe we have a married couple, husband and wife, and they have 12 children. Kenai and Har, 12 children. So, Me'ikar Hadin, how many candles does the father light for Chanukah? One candle. No Shamus, you don't need nothing. All you need to do is light one candle. You're done. You don't need a Shamus. You don't need to do anything more than light one candle. Okay? Now, we know now there's something called Mahadrin. What's Mahadrin? The father lights a candle for every single member of the house. Now, here's the question I'm asking you, which is not so simple what the answer is. Does that mean that the husband lights, he lights one, everyone in the house, does that mean he lights 13 candles or 14 candles? The simple reading of when you read the Mefarshim, Mahadrin means he lights 14 candles. When you're doing the mitzvah of Mahadrin, you're lighting one candle for every single person in the home. You know what that means? One for me, one for my wife, and then another 12 for my children. For a total of 14 candles. Why is your wife any less than one of your children? One on behalf of everyone in the bias. We don't think about this. We just read the word the Gemara. What's the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? Ner Yishu Beisai. The Hamahadrin? Ner L'chol Echod Ve'echod. Does that include your wife? Well, some say it does, which means one for you, one for your wife, and then one for all of your children. When women light candles Friday night, how many candles do they light? Two. Why two? Zohar v'shamar. Right? Zohar v'shamar. There's also another reason. One for her, one for him. She lights for the husband also. There are many reasons why a woman lights two candles Friday night. The pashas is Zohar v'shamar. But they're a married couple. You light one for you, one you're lighting for your husband also. When you light Ner Shabbos, the Ner Shabbos is there are two candles. So why is Chanukah different any different? When the husband lights the Mahadrin, then the Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin, everyone lights Moisef HaHoylech. So for some reason, when we go to Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin, and everyone is lighting multiple Neros, all of a sudden the wife drops out. She drops out, and she now becomes part of her husband, Mahadrin. Why does she drop out? Why does the wife drop out? Because since the husband already is lighting multiple candles, so Mimela, the wife is Nichlal in the multiple candles. See, when you light multiple candles, then the spouse becomes part of the team. But when you're only lighting one candle, then it's not fair to leave out your wife. Then you have to go and have a candle for you and a candle for her. So if you can do the Iker Hadin, you light one candle for the whole bias. If you're going to light Ner L'chol Echad V'Echad, since I'm only lighting one candle for me, and now we're going to light one candle for everyone, it's not nice to leave out my wife. When you sit around the table Shabbos, what, your wife doesn't get a place setting? Of course she does. So when you're lighting Ner L'chol Echad V'Echad, your wife also deserves to have a candle lit for her. But when you're doing Mehadrin Min HaMehadrin, so what does that mean? I have a Chanukiah that has 8 candles. Look at that. 8 candles plus a Shamish. I'm going to be lighting a whole series of candles. That's different. Because when you're lighting a chandelier, when you have a Leichter, and you are already lighting multiple candles, already then that takes on a new life, and your wife becomes part of that Chanukiah, your wife doesn't need to light anymore. It's ishtoi kigufai. In other words, some poskim want to suggest that the principle of ishtoi kigufai is only true by mehadrin min ha-mehadrin. But mehadrin, there's one seat for you and one for her. It's like you go to a wedding, and they tell you we're having separate seating. And you come to the wedding and you see, not only is it not separate seating, there's mixed dancing. So what are you telling me, this separate seating? So the Balabas says, I said this separate seating. You sit in your chair and your wife sits in her chair. You don't sit in the same chair. That's all it means, separate seating. Okay, so it is this is a very big chiddush that ishtoi kigufoi is only true mahadrin mina mahadrin. Because when you're lighting multiple candles, it takes on a life by itself. But when you're doing mahadrin, ner l'chol echad v'echad, it's not polite to leave out your wife. So what do we see from this? We see from this is that noshim occupy a very important place in this mitzvah. They get their own candle at certain times. And there are people out there, women who get married, that say to their husbands, I don't care what the minig in your family is. We have a very good marriage. But when it comes to Chanukah, I will continue to light my own Chanukah menorah. I have a chavivus to light my own Chanukah menorah from as time I'm a child. I want to continue. Gesund de hate. She's within her rights. It's not kedai to spend thousands of dollars of marriage counseling over this. Okay? On the other hand, there are many, many women that are very relieved. Gesundheit, you light the menorah. I'm very happy that you should light the menorah. That's what I want. That's probably the majority, I would assume. The majority of Orthodox women are very happy that their husband should light the menorah on their behalf. Ner, it's ishtoi kigufoi. But it's not unheard of that a wife lights on her own. And la halacha she can. And certainly when there is no one else at home, if she is alone in her own home, she can't just, it's Chanukah. It's a mitzvah. I'm not lighting. I'm not interested in lighting. You're not going to do that. A woman has an obligation, just like a woman has an obligation to eat kosher food, not to have an obligation to light Chanukah candles. Zehu. Why is she obligated? Because of the principle, af hein hoyu be'oisoi hanes. That's the reason. I just want to point out something different, is that this principle to say that noshma chayif af hein hoyu be'oisoi hanes, which we accept l'halacha, that's the bottom line, yet we should be aware this has been challenged by many gedolei Yisrael. Why are they afhein hoyu ba'isa hanes when it comes to Chanukah? Because they were part of the gezerah of the general gezerah. That's not significant. The women are part of Klal Yisrael, and they don't do mitzvah she'asman grama. To say because they were because of Yehudis, that's a very weak argument. Just because she stood up to the Hegemon, she's not the one who fought the battles. Okay, her brothers died, not her. We don't have a record that she died in any battle. So she's not like Esther Hamalko that orchestrated the whole thing from beginning to end. So what do you want to say? You want to say because the Hegemon? That's a good argument, right? Because kol besula shenises tibola Hegemon? Wait a minute. It's a very good argument. There was indeed humiliation and suffering, but do Chazal have the power, the authority to obligate Nashim for all generations because these women were saved from the humiliation? They were not saved from a halachic violation because Esther Karko Oilam. It's a horrible thing. It goes without saying that it's Kineged Kolot Arakula what happened, but it's not halachically a halachic violation. Karko Oilam. So therefore, we should be aware that it's a weak argument. Even though it's weak, it won. There's nothing to discuss. The bottom line is, lehalacha, we paskin Shulchan Aruch, noshim chayovos af hein hoyu be'oisoi hanes. Okay, now, let's now go to the next category. Children. This is also a very fascinating topic to bring out. We've got some concepts in this topic. Are children obligated to light the Chanukah menorah? Well, anyone under bar mitzvah is not obligated on a significant level, right? You know, there's no obligation until you bar mitzvah. But the schinuch, everyone knows the schinuch abonim, so you teach your children Torah, you teach them everything else. So why in the world should you not teach them to light Chanukah candles? Right? Why in the world, why is the mitzvah of chinuch any different than the mitzvah of chinuch of eating kosher food? Like you look at me like I'm crazy. Of course they should light chinuch the same way they do everything else. You do this. What's the difference? There are a lot of differences. Number one, why are they lighting? Me'ikar hadin, the mitzvah is ner ish ubeisai. One candle for an entire family. And if you want to be mahader, ner l'cholecha v'yachad. Everyone lights one candle. Or it really means, the whole shaila what it means, ner l'cholecha v'yachad. Does it mean everyone lights one candle? Or does it mean that the Rosh Habayis lights for everyone one candle? Everything is subject to a big, but that's mahadrin. Mahadrin, and a mahadrin, it's moysev ho'lecha p'ches v'yachad. Fine. So it turns out that for a child to light in addition to his father, it's not part of the Ikor Hadin. It's Mahadrin. Or Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin. Is there such a thing as being Mechanech a child on a din of Hidur? There's certainly a mitzvah to teach a child to do a mitzvah. But there's such a principle that we find the source in Chazal. And you cannot overwhelm. Chazal are very careful not to overwhelm people. Don't, if you overwhelm people, they are discouraged and they'll give it all up. Don't overdo it. Children are children. Children, Chanukah, Me'ikar, Hadin. It's so hard for us to relate to this because we live in a different world. We live in a world where everyone has a Chanukah menorah, everyone has this, everyone has a non Chanukah menorah, everyone has a silver Chanukah menorah, and a fancy Chanukah menorah, and this and that. So to us, it sounds like ridiculous to question. But let's go back to the sources. Let's go back to the way the mitzvah was done in ancient times. The way it was done for real. The way it was done for real was not everyone, no, people couldn't afford oil, people were very poor. Not everyone has oil for every single one of his children. And you live in these little teeny houses, very dangerous, and this and that. The mitzvah was to light one candle for the whole household. Ner ish ubeser. Mahadrin. Ner l'cholechot v'echot. If you have adult children, okay, adult children, so ner l'cholechot v'echot. But to say there's going to be a din of chinuch for hidur? Who says? Now, here, this opens up a can of worms. Now, listen to this. Think back when you were by your parents. Would you dare light your father's home, make believe your father came home from work, everyone's standing around the Chanukah menorah, your whole family? Tell me, would you dare light the Chanukah menorah before your father? Rabbi Mayevsky, would can such a thing enter into your mind, such a scene of you all standing around your Chanukah and you're going to light before your father? Chutzpah noir, right? It's the biggest chutzpah to do such a thing.
With times when my father came very late.
Okay, that's different.
My mother wanted to eat.
Okay, that's different. That's different. But generally, if your father is home, would anyone dare lie before their father?
Absolutely.
It's like absurd. Go ask anyone. You got to be out of your mind. Like, will you sit in your father's chair? But many poskim write, they write this seriously. We've never seen this done. They write that when you're at home with your family, the children should light first. Because if the father lights first, the children can't make a bracha. It's a bracha levatola. Because once the father lights the menorah, the children have fulfilled the mitzvah. Ner ish ubeisai. You light one candle, everyone in this household has now fulfilled their obligation. We're done, you're all done. So for a child now, for an adult child, not talking about a minor, an adult child, to now proceed to light, to make a bracha, what are you doing? You've already fulfilled your obligation. Your father lit the candles. Oh, you want to be Mekayim, what it says in the Gemara, a Mahadrin, everyone lights their own menorah, Maisif HaHoylech. Mahadrin and a Mahadrin. Oh, very nice. Tell me, does the Gemara say anywhere you make a bracha? The Gemara doesn't say you make a bracha. It says in the Gemara, the mitzvah is ner yishu beisai. V'amahadrin ner l'chol lecha v'yechad. V'amahadrin min amahadrin. Everyone, doesn't say everyone, by the way. That's the whole shaila, what it means. Mahadrin. The whole sugi. Some whole mahadrin means only the father lights. The father lights one menorah ma'isavah, but halachal ma'isavah, everyone, we translate the meaning to everyone. It doesn't say anywhere in the Gemara that when the other people light, ner l'chol echad v'yachad, and everyone is ma'isavah ha'ilich, that they should make a bracha. The bracha that the father made, the bracha that was made by the father for the entire bias, covers everyone. And now go right ahead. Go light your candles in Mahadrim and Amad. Who told you, the child, the adult child, to make a bracha? It's a bracha levatola, you yoytze. Now, it's what I'm telling you sounds like I'm out of my mind, because everyone who's been in this situation many times knows the Rosh Habayis makes a bracha and he lights the candles, and then everyone in the family makes their own bracha. So what are you going to tell me? You're going to tell me if you really want to do that, it says, some of the poskim say this, if you want to go light after your father, when your father lights the candles, you should make a declaration in front of the whole household. I hereby declare I'm having intent not to fulfill my obligation with the lighting of my father's candles. Try that at home. I am making a statement. I don't want to fulfill my obligation, because if my father lights for me, I can't make a bracha. So I'm going to be a nice guy. I'm going to let my father go first. He can go first. But I don't want, when he lights, I should fulfill my obligation. So therefore, when I'm real, I can make my own bracha. I don't think that's going to go very well. Okay, I don't think that's going to go very well. So, but the place can say, you should do one of these two things. Either you should light before your father, so you can make a bracha. You've not yet been yoytze. Your father cannot be yoytze with you, by the way, because your father is the Rosh HaBayis. So your father, it's his bayis. You just live here. Why not? Why don't we even say that once that, because your father, it seems like it's obvious he doesn't want to be yotze with you. It's his bias. You live here, so you can also make light candles, but the solution would be you should light the candles first and then the father, or you should declare before you light candles, before your father lights candles, I do not want to fulfill my obligation with the lighting of the candles of my father. This is what Poskim, they actually write in print, that this is the way it should be done. Now, Puk Chazi Ma Amad Devar, this is absurd in our eyes. This is rejected thoroughly. You've never seen this. And if someone would do this, it would be viewed as incredible chutzpah noira, to do such a thing, to light before your father lights, or to make a declaration, I don't want to be yotze with my father's lighting of the candle. That's not the way it works. So then the question is a really good question. It's a really tough question. What are you doing making a bracha? You're making a bracha on hiddur. There's no such thing making a bracha on hiddur. You make a bracha on the ikur mitzvah. And if the ikur mitzvah, if you can do in the ikur mitzvah hiddur, oh, ma toivah ma noam. It's like a guy buys an esrog, and he spends on the esrog $300. And he comes to shul, and he says, Rabbi Sai, I'm going to make two brachas. The first bracha is, I only really should have spent $50. That's all I really should have spent for a kosher esrog. Even that's too much. That's all I needed to spend is $50. So I'm going to make a bracha, asher kedushan b'mitzvah v'zod al netilas lulav, because of the $50 in this esrog. And now I'm going to make another bracha. I want to make another bracha, asher kedushan b'mitzvah v'zod al netilas lulav, because I spent an extra $250, not just to buy a mohudadikul, to buy a hiddur, the most expensive esrog money can buy. Two brachas. One bracha for the ikar hamitzvah and one bracha for the hiddur. That's ridiculous. No such thing. You make one bracha. The one bracha is koilo, the ikar and the hiddur. So if the father is making a bracha on the lighting of the candles, and that halach in Shulchan Aruch, beyond the shadow of a doubt, there's nothing to argue about, nothing to discuss, is ner ishu beisai. Everyone in the bayis is yoytzei. So now when the children light, even adult children, it's only mahadrin mina mahadrin. You're going to make your own bracha? Excuse me. What are you doing? And you're going to tell me you had kavanah to be yotze? You didn't say that. You wouldn't have the chutzpah to say that to your father. You didn't make that statement. So what's going on, my high? What's going on over here? This is a really tough question. And there really is no good answer. It's a tough question. This is a really serious question. And obviously, it doesn't say in the Gemara to make a bracha. And that's why some of the poskim, they go so far, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't make the bracha. You want to make the bracha, you got to light first. You have to have kavanah to be yotze. They go berserk over this. But we don't do that. You don't see anyone doing that today. And to go say, oh yeah, that it's automatic, you don't have, you have kavanah to be yotze. That's ridiculous. You never heard anyone say that. That automatically, when the parents are lighting them in, or the father's lighting, it's ki'ilu yav kavanah not to be yotze. Come on. That's a shvach svar. That's a very weak thing to say. You can't go say that. What's going on here? The answer, obviously, today, it has to be, you don't have a choice, it has to be that we paskin, we accept Chanukah to be very different than the hiddur of Zekei Livyan Veil, built in to the mitzvah of Hadlokas Saneros. This is an incredible thing that is totally, totally unique to Chanukah. Totally unique. Built in to the mitzvah of Hadlokas Saneros is an ability to make a bracha on just the hiddur. Just the hiddur. You can't say this by esroig, priates hodar, no such thing. When you do the mitzvah, you're making a bracha on the mitzvah. If you're lucky, you'll have the hiddur in the mitzvah, but you're not making a separate bracha on hiddur. Chanukah is unique. There's nothing like it in the world. Built into the koyach, the mitzvah of Chanukah, the way that we practice the mitzvah, is to make a separate bracha on the hiddur alone. It's incredible. The brachas that you hear by the Chanukah family are different brachas. When the father is making the bracha, Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvayso v'tzivanu l'halik ner shel Chanukah, that's not the same bracha that the child's going to make. The father is making a bracha on the Iker HaMitzvah. Happens to be in the Iker HaMitzvah, the father, chapterayin oichit ahidr, because he has a Chanukiah, he has 8 candles. But when the child, the adult child, proceeds to make his bracha is not the Iker HaMitzvah, because the Iker HaMitzvah already was done. His bracha is on the Hidur. Wow. The Hidur is upgraded to a madrega of a mitzvah in and of itself. So you'll say to me, very nice, l'may nafkamina, what difference does this make? Very nice, Pilpul. What difference? Big difference. Is there a mitzvah to be mechanech a child to light Chanukah candles? We start off with a very strong argument. No, absolutely not. The kid is 12 years old. You don't light Chanukah candles. There's no, what is Chanukah candles for you? Chidur. I'm the Rosh Habayis. I lit the candle for the house. We're done. Oh, you want to be Mahader to light your own candles? Hidur? Sorry, you show me somewhere in Dalit Chelke Shulchan Aruch that there's an obligation upon for a child, Midin Chinuch, for Hidur. No such thing. The mitzvah of Chinuch is only for the Ikor HaMitzvah. There's no such thing as chinuch for hidur mitzvah. Especially when the hidur is isolated. It's one thing, you buy your child an eshrog, maybe you'll argue, well, once you're buying an eshrog, so in that eshrog, which is an ikar hamitzvah, there's also hidur. But to go and have a mitzvah of chinuch on hidur, that is not part of the ikar mitzvah, there's no such thing. So therefore, my child, you're 12 years old, you're not going to light. I'm not giving one penny to gift for your oil and your wicks and your Chanukiah because there's no need for it. There is absolutely no need. I'm the Rosh Habayis. I will light. You will be Yotzei with me. And you're a minor. You have no obligation. And there's no chinuch because chinuch is only on Ikorei HaMitzvah, not on Hidurei Mitzvah. But now that we've dissected this sugya, and we discover that the hidur of Chanukah is not your ordinary hidur. The hidur of Chanukah is on a silver platter. The hidur of Chanukah gets its own bracha. The kindelach light, your adult children should not be able to make a bracha because they already were yoytze. And yet we're letting adult children make a bracha? Oh. That's what does that go to show? Built into the takana of Chazal to be mekayim the mitzvah of Chanukah is not just a superficial hiddur. The hiddur is elevated to the status of the mitzvah itself, where they can make their own bracha. So it's not just an ordinary hiddur; it's a hiddur, a very potent, powerful hiddur. That hiddur, now it's logical that there should be a mitzvah of chinuch on that hiddur itself. If that hiddur by an adult warrants its own bracha, then it's very fair to say that there's an obligation for a child also to practice that hiddur and light his Chanukah menorah no different than he does every other mitzvah midin chinuch. Okay, so this is what we take out of it.
I may say something here. That Hahidur is not on the mitzvah. Ha-mehadrin, it means it's a anashim she-mehadrim.
The people.
So each one lights his candle as an ikar mitzvah.
You're saying something very good. You're saying another distinction, which.
But as an ikar, ha-mehadrin, it means. Everyone in my family lights the candle as an ikar mitzvah, not for the Hidur. That's
okay. I like what you're saying.
I mean, mehader shekol echad yadlik
He's saying a very beautiful idea. I never thought of this. Rav Kalman is saying is that you can't compare this hidur. This also contributes to the idea to Esrog. Esrog, the hidur is in the Heftza. It's a nicer Esrog, better blitos. Hanukkah, fire is fire. There's no difference between your fire and his fire. It's all the same. What, you're gonna tell me you have better olive oil? Nah, that's not called the difference between the menorah. That's not the mitzvah. The menorah is just stam. It's just a holder. The hiddur is you. Is the gavra. It's a brisk of art. The hiddur of Esrog is a din in the cheftza. The hiddur of Hanukkah is in the gavra, not just the father, the child. You don't just do one maisa hadlaka. The person does multiple hadlakas. He lights multiple candles. There is no cheftza. Yeah, the cheftza is the shemen, the psila, and the or. But the shemen, the psila, the or is all the same. There's no difference of quality. I know you'll tell me the different types of oil, this one, but the difference of the oils is not a significant difference in a better quality oil that you can say the word hiddur on. And the menorah certainly is not part of the equation because that's just a holder. So where's the hiddur? What's the mahadrin? It's in the gavra, in the person, the human being. That's a different type of hiddur. Ah, that type of hiddur, excellent, gets a bracha. That type of hiddur, there's a din of chinuch. If you're going to have a hiddur on an object, no. There's no din hiddur for a child, a chinuch on hiddur of an object. To make a broch on hiddur and the object, there's no such thing. But when the hiddur is in the gavra, the person, oh, that type of hiddur in and of itself, you make a broch. That type of hiddur, there's a din of chinuch. Okay, now I want to go with one last idea. We've got 2 more minutes, just a little drush. This drush goes back to something that I told you this, the idea probably in different forms in the past, but just a short drush. Where do we light the Chanukah menorah? Where's the makom hadlak, the ikar makom? Well, that we'll talk about another time, another topic. Where do you position the Chanukah menorah? But according to the Gemara, Talmud Chazal, in Eretz Yisrael, they put it mi pesach besoy mi bachutz. You put the menorah outside your house, right by the door. Where by the door? The Gemara is very clear. On the left side. Why on the left side? On the right side is the mezuzah, and on the left side is the Chanukah menorah. So when you're in your house, when you're coming into your house, on your way into your house, on the right side is the mezuzah, and the left side is the menorah. You light the Chanukah candles. And what do you do then? You walk in your house. I assume you go inside, right? You walk in the house. When do we ever have a situation where a person walks between two objects of mitzvah? The Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim. Remember we discussed this, that in to get into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you have to go through a metal detector. What's the metal detector? You know, you have two things on two sides, and it shoots electrons at you. There's a metal detector to get into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. What's the metal detector? The menorah is on your left, and the shulchan is on your right. And to get into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you got to walk in between those two. You may get zapped. Right? You got to walk in. To get into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Kohen Gadol has to walk in between the menorah on the left and the Shulchan on the right. What is the Shulchan, Rabbi? What is saying the Shulchan? I'll tell you 2 ideas very quickly. What is the Shulchan? Food. Food. Sofkoniot. I forgot it. Donuts. What's there on the shulchan? Donuts. Lechem aponim. Okay, the real donuts, the good stuff. The lechem aponim is on the shulchan. When you walk into your home on Chanukah, you light the Chanukah candles on the left. On the right, there's a mezuzah. What does it say in the mezuzah? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. V'yohavta. V'hayom Shemaya. And what does it say there in the middle of the mezuzah? V'ochalta v'savata. It's in Kriya Shema, those words. Look it up. You say it twice a day. V'ochalta v'savata. Oh, very interesting. What is the shulchan? Bread. What is bread? What do you do with the bread? V'ochalta v'savata. When you light the menorah on the left side, and the mezuzah is on the right side, and after you light the menorah, what do? You just stay in the street the whole day? Mastava, the goal is, after you light the menorah, you go inside, into your house, right? And you go inside and you enjoy Chanukah. You have a Sudas Chanukah. Your house is the Kodesh HaKodoshim. That's the Musar of Chanukah. Every person should recognize that their bias is a Kodesh HaKodoshim. It's a Makom of Torah, the Oroin, the Kruvim. The Kruvim, what's the Kruvim? What did the Kruvim look like? Children. On top of the Torah, the Kruvim, the Ponim of the Kruvim, they were, the children looked at each other. There was Ava, V'Achva, V'Sholom, V'Reus amongst the Bnei Bayis. The Kruvim, according to one opinion, was a Zohar and a Keva. Shalom Bayis, husband, wife, all built on a foundation of Torah, Torah min Hashemayim. To get into your Kodesh HaKodoshim, you got to walk between the Shulchan and the Menorah. You light the Menorah, and on the other side is the Mezuzah, which has many concepts, including prosperity. The whole Kriya Shema leads up. The climax of Kriya Shema is, if you will be mekabel ol malchus shemayim, shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, v'yohavta, v'hayom shemaya. What's the climax? The climax is, I'll give you everything you need, v'yohalta v'savata. On the left is the Or HaTorah, like in the Beis HaMikdash. Same thing, the Dorim. On the Dorim is the left. When you go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the menorah is in the Dorim. Is the Or HaTorah. On the right is the bracha of prosperity. Take these brachas with you and go into the Kodesh HaKodoshim, into your home that is Kodesh HaKodoshim. Despite what's going on in the world, in the Goyish world, all the tumah, all the problems, all the nonsense, all the sheker, you have a safe haven. Your bias is a safe haven of Kodesh HaKadoshim. Torah is the foundation, the Luchos Misinai with the Sefer Torah. And on top of that, you have the Kruvim, which represent Ish the Ishtoi, looking at each other. Shalom Bayis. Kruvia is Kravia. Shekein b'karchayam kom liyinuko Kravia. The Bonecha Kishsile Zesim Sav l'shulchanecha. That's the Musar of Chanukah. Don't forget, your bias is a Kodesh HaKodoshim. Treat it as such, because that's what it is. And create the environment, like in the Mishkan, to get there. The menorah on the left, the Shulchan on the right. All right, everybody, have a wonderful day. Thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. Mircham, yep. Tomorrow we will continue.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just the curious.